Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The 1-2 Hour is brought to you by the Seminole Hard Rock Poker Room at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
It is National Signing Day. New Miami.
Can I just be blunt?
Hats on hats. Hats on trash.
Can I just be honest about this?
Yeah.
Do not give a rat's.
Leroy doesn't give a rat's ass about these high school kids and where they pick.
No, that's not it. I care about the kids that are coming to play college football.
Yeah.
But for us to sit here and say that we know if any of them are going to be any good, you're idiots. You don't know.
Well, do you think Dabo knew that his quarterback was going to be that good?
No. Yes, because he started him over the last quarterback before he had played.
All I know is the Canes got a badass punter.
What about Tua?
I don't know.
I mean,
he was Alabama. Five stars.
He was all the stars.
I know the Canes got a punter who's got tattoo neck veins. Everything on him is tatted up. He's Australian AF. And by the way, I've looked at his befores and afters from 2017 to 2019. And
go back before. I think I saw a picture from 2015.
Well, he's a child then. I don't care about that.
He wasn't a child. He's like 70 years old now.
How old is he?
No one really knows. I mean.
He's on that Dominican plane.
He's on that, like,
where they come over here and say, no, really.
I think they list him as 24, but
do you think
a 24-year-old freshman?
He apparently was playing Australian rules football.
Yeah, like
and that's okay.
Yeah, he's punting. It's not like he's gonna be in contact with anybody.
No. You don't have kickers in Australian rules football.
It's a different country.
You play.
I think everybody in Australia can kick.
Yeah. Right. Well, they're also kicking a beach ball. It's not a little football.
Don't judge.
Do you think that he could kill a mountain lion with his bare hands, just looking at him?
Before or after the root juice?
Well, juvenile mountain lion or regular mountain lion?
Juvenile. Let's keep the stakes the same.
Yeah, same. Yeah, no problem.
We got it coming up in about 10 minutes. We're going to talk to Kamaru Usman, who is fighting for the UFC Welterweight Championship. Do you think he could kill a mountain lion with
his bare
hands?
That's got to be your first question.
Really?
Man, because here's the problem. And this is... like, I'm sorry, we don't have nothing with us that's sharp as what they have.
The claws?
Right.
Well, this guy took a bite in the face.
Who?
The guy who killed the juvenile mountain lion.
Right. And
he survived. I mean, I don't know what he's going to look like. He might look like a raisin the rest of his life. but he survived.
I'm going to go mountain lion all day, because you might be able to kill it, but if you survive, who's going to be worse off?
Interesting. Well, we got a lot of things coming up today. We are going to talk to Kamaru Usman in about 10 minutes. We are going to hear from Mark Richt and his analysis of this draft
signing day. There was already one moment where they were talking about being able to recruit quarterbacks in the state of Florida.
Yeah, I'm sure that was weird. Mark, what do you think?
Only one quarterback visit campus in the last 18 months.
First question your quarterback is, make sure he doesn't like to Snapchat the sex.
Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com station.
It is National Signing Day. I honestly don't care.
Liar.
Yeah, right.
I don't. Liar. Well, once we lost out on Bogle, I was like, I'm out. And then, you know, we got some kid that was supposed to go to Alabama to flip to us, but
not four-star corner piece, bro. TNM.
But what really matters, the only thing that really matters to me is the Australian punter.
Dude, this has swept the nation.
Because
it really has, Leroy.
The Manny Diaz.
What's his name?
The Manny Diaz. Louis,
Headley?
Headley, yeah. I don't know what it, I don't know what his first name
just
is.
Just look up punter on Twitter just and see how many headlines this has gotten.
But the Manny Diaz tweet of the kangaroo was just amazing.
Manny Diaz is good at Twitter.
Yeah, is he good at football?
He's getting to Lane Kiffin level of good at Twitter.
So that's all I care about. You want to go see who signed? Go.
There's a commit coming up in a few minutes. Now.
I don't care. I honestly don't care. I'm beginning to like just understand Leroy, knowing that. What would you say? Give it 2 years before we have any clue.
I mean, at least, because depending on, what position, it could be longer.
I mean, they got like no offensive lineman, so that's a problem.
What about the guy from Butler?
Yeah, it's a big get.
That's cool.
Yeah, and that Bogle kid went to Florida. Oof.
I just said Bogle, Robbie.
I know, but we're talking about that matchup the first game. He's going to be going up against a Butler transfer.
Hey, question.
Yeah.
Is he throwing up the U from Australia?
Yes. He signed his papers in Australia last night.
Now, real quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to throw Manos under the bus or nothing.
No, it's El Patron.
But you couldn't, like... How did you even find him?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Don't ask. I'm looking at it.
Like, don't ask.
There has
questions.
To be somebody who's like,
don't ask.
As degenerate
questions.
As Robbie with gambling, that is just laying stacks on Australian rules football.
Do you
football.
Think their basketball player DJ Vasilovich, like, knew about him?
The sure, Aussie? He does. We should ask him.
I would guess.
I don't know, man.
He's 24. Make sure Brick comes over here with some paper.
Oh, Manny Diaz says we got Trayvon Hill, the defensive end who transferred from Virginia Tech. Great, wonderful, lovely.
Cool.
The only one I'm upset about, other than Bogle, is that Amon Richards' brother signed with Auburn instead of Miami. But other than that, I don't care. Seriously,
wait, I don't care.
Kair Elam coming up after this commercial break.
I don't care.
Let me ask you a question.
Why are you so broken?
I don't. No. Don't fall for it. He does the same thing with the Patriots.
No.
Stop.
We suck. Bring in Hoyer.
No. Listen to me. Like, I seriously, I don't care anymore.
Oh, get out of here.
Why? About recruiting. I don't care.
Why?
Because it used to keep me up.
You're just
going to
give
night.
Up like that? I don't give up on he getting big time free agents.
No. It used to keep me up at night. Like, it used to be something I worried about. And then I realized, like, I'm an adult now. Like,
did you realize this 10 minutes ago?
Like, no, like, seriously. Like,
you've been an adult for a long time.
Not really. Like, I just realized, like, me fretting over 18-year-olds is stupid.
Oh! Huh.
I'm just saying, like...
Really?
Now, if in 2 or 3 years...
The transfer
they
portal.
All suck, then I'm going to go back and rip the recruiting class. But for right now, I don't care.
How many people you think
plus,
are actually...
Plus, you know what ruined it? Robbie's right, the transfer portal. Like, the Tate Martell and, like, the Bolden, like, that situation, like, that got the rocks flowing. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but they're players that didn't want... Like, shouldn't you already have questions about them and the competitiveness they have?
Nah, bruh. Transfer portal...
I thought the Kane thing...
You know what? I will take the transfer portal 9 times out of 10 over this recruiting crap.
Yeah, but I thought the Kane
thing
was
portal.
Like... Recruit, like, the lower guys who wants to compete, who wants to be part of the U.
No, forget that. Let's just get all the stuff that's out there and take it in.
Your philosophy seems warped.
Let me explain to you something.
I think I'm losing it.
I might.
You like the transfer portal?
I love the portal.
And you know what your team's going to look like in 3 years if you only relied on a transfer portal?
Nothing.
Like the University of Miami's basketball team.
Correct.
You got a whole bunch of JUCOs and
what do you think CCSF stands for?
I don't know.
Do you think it's school? Do you think he even goes to school? Do you think he
went to school? He's 24. He went to school. He should have graduated 6 years ago.
He looks like he graduated from auto body shop.
He majored in kangaroos.
Wait, if you saw that guy on the road, more likely a punter or your mechanic?
He looks like a Sons of Anarchy.
Yep.
He's Tibbs.
Can we?
Are they sure they don't want to make him play a nose tackle?
Okay, listen. I rarely have any good ideas for this show. And I've never talked to this guy. But can we make plans now? Like, can I tell the boss, like, we want a weekly show with the punter?
I mean, if that's cool for college kids, yeah. I mean, I'd like to hear him talk first. Just because you got cool tattoos, like, could be like Birdman situation.
How can it be? Come on.
Yeah,
come
Birdman
on.
Got mad at me.
Come on, look at him.
Sometimes Birdman didn't want to cooperate.
Look at him.
I know, he looks awesome. And Australia, the last Australian we had on this show was Tai Tuivasa. He was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yes, I guess. I'm not going to turn down an Australian that looks like that.
Wait, by the way, I still owe a shoey, by the way.
Oh,
when he gets to town, me and him could do a shoey together.
You think he's on a shoey?
He's legal. I mean, he can drink whatever he wants.
Do we know what his age is?
No, we have no idea. That's very suspicious
in today's day and age.
He seriously could be 30. I have no idea.
Wait, I'm still trying to figure out. He's 24.
I don't know. I'll
come and commit.
Who do you pick? Lee,
he's on the verge of picking.
He's going to pick Florida.
I think he just picked Florida.
Yeah.
He has a Georgia hat. Oh, yeah, that's Florida.
It was like Clemson.
He must have a serious delay.
Yeah, he's doing a massive gator chomp.
Kick rocks.
Whatever. I don't care. I really don't care. The only other news, really, I mean, there's a bunch
of... What about the Heat?
It was last night, guys.
The Heat surprised us. I woke up to a win. That was odd.
Yeah.
And I woke up to Dwayne Wade, like, scoring a bunch of points.
He was awesome yesterday.
And I woke up to Hassan having a good game.
Hassan was awesome.
I was like, what the hell happened? What got into these guys?
They kicked their ass is what happened.
Why do they do this? Why is it playing down to opponents, playing up to opponents?
Well, it's road versus home.
First of all, it was Dwayne Wade who was just, like, destroying.
Yeah, but how often is he going to do that?
It was his last national TV game if they don't make the playoffs. So I imagine.
So you think that Dwayne just turns it on? For last night.
There's no doubt that he does. He's a showman.
Leroy, can Dwayne just turn it on and off?
Of course, because
it's a national TV game.
No, I'm going to turn it on. All
right. That's what he's contending.
Wade doesn't oil it up for certain games.
Hold on. I'm not saying he doesn't want to, but part of the reason why he's retiring, because he can't just crank it up whenever he wants to. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. That's what called getting old is. That's what getting old is called.
He knows his moments.
Wait, I'm just...
He knows his moments. Pick your spots.
Like, you were the ball boy for the girls' volleyball team. Why am I having a conversation about...
University of Puerto Rico.
Anywho, Greg Schiano is probably going to be the Patriots' next defensive coordinator. I hate that move.
Whatever.
And we still got trade AD situations going on.
Yeah, we'll get to all that. Things got frosty yesterday in LA. I'm not Team Petty.
But if I was
Team Petty, this might be Christmas. We'll talk to UFC title contender Kamaru Usman next.
If you know me, know this ain't my first way.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Tobin, Leroy, and Beast. Very excited to talk to our next guest. We're out to the Ryan Fields announcers, convenience stores, guest line. Truly steps beyond convenience. They will find number one contender Kamaru Usman joins us there. Thank you, Kamaru. Appreciate the time, man.
Thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, we're looking forward to it, man. We actually just saw you recently. Leroy and I went out to the Titan show not too long ago when you were broadcasting, and things got crazy there, man. Right, Leroy?
Yeah. I mean, from a professional standpoint, you had to ask the questions that you asked. But was Suarez out of line by continuing to go after him? Because I was always told that they keep going until the official stops them.
No, this is that very type of situation to where his side's not particularly wrong. The opposing team's side is not particularly wrong for feeling the way that they felt about it. You're a mixed martial artist. You're taught, well, this is not boxing where it's you knock the guy down at the 8 count and the guy that you have to back off and let him get up. No, it's not that type of game. You gotta go in for the finish. And Suarez was in absolute, he had the right to go in and continue to try to go for the finish. But in good sportsmanship, once you hit him with the first shot, you realize this guy's out. He was out before he hit the ground.
Right.
You didn't need the other 3-4 shots that he delivered while this guy was out. You didn't need those. So in that sense, I think it was a poor sportsmanship on his end, but he had every right to do that. And on the other end, the team, those are your teammates. They're there. Those are your coaches. They're there to help guide you and protect you and things like that. So when they see their guy is out and the other guy's not stopping, he's continuing to hit him, of course their tempers are going to flare. If anything, I would blame the referee.
Right.
That was the referee's fault for being slow to get in there and stop it. That's his child is to be in there and keep those fires safe. So if any blame is to be thrown around, it goes towards the referee. I don't blame either corner or either side.
Is there any way you could describe to people who haven't been in there, Kamal, that kind of emotion that you feel, like the highs and lows when you are with that opponent? Because it feels like you're saying, like, you kind of got to have an awareness of where your opponent is, but also it is a sport where you're both in a cage and it's best man survives.
Yeah, but, you know, this is how I approach the game. This is not – I'm not there to kill my opponent. Yes, at the end of the day, we're modern-day gladiators, but at the same time, I'm a human being and my opponent's a human being. My opponent has a family and that he has to get home to, as do I. So if I was in that situation, I would expect my opponent to be sensitive enough to know that and not damage, and vice versa. I wouldn't put my opponent in that situation. If I know he's out with the first shot, I was raised in good sportsmanship like that, to where I will back off. I would not do that. It happened, you know, but that's kind of the fine line of the dangerous game that we play.
So, you know, I mean, doing shows like Titan, you get those guys who are hungry and they're on the come up. Do you think about those times at all right now, Kamal? Because you are in line for the title. You're fighting for the belt in about 4 weeks' time. I mean, that's – do you ever think back to those days of your crawl up to the UFC to get to this actual moment? Because it's a huge deal, man. You could be world champion in a month's time.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I absolutely do, because this is and I watch these Titan fights, and I cringe sometimes. And these guys are putting it all on the line. It's almost – you know, just it's extremely motivating to watch what these guys are doing, because you're starting out at the bottom. When you first start out, some of these guys, you don't make money. We make less than, those guys make less than minimum wage, absolutely less than minimum wage. If they had, they would make more money working at McDonald's than they would for what they put themselves through going through these fights. So these guys, man, these guys are tough guys. I watch them fight. They lay it all on the line, man, and it just, you know, it's just added motivation of where I've come from. I remember fighting like that. I remember grinding through all these, you know, these smaller promotions and these circuits, and Titan FC does a phenomenal job. I mean, for a show that's set down here now, they're starting to expand worldwide. I mean, they do a phenomenal job of getting all these guys opportunities to get to that next level.
Was there ever a point where you thought, I can't do this anymore? Because I got to imagine having that kind of, that burden of basically risking everything. You're putting your body on the line, you're making no money, and maybe not knowing that there's going to be that potential of fighting in the UFC for championship. Did you ever think about not continuing to pursue it, or did you always think you'd get here?
Every day I think about it. I still think about that right now. It's not a, you know, it's a psychological experiment as well. It's not just, oh man, everything is peachy, everything is all sunshine and rainbows just because I'm in the UFC. No, it's still a struggle. And any world champion will tell you that it's a struggle each and every day. Like it's not just go away just because you're there. Because you can lose at everything, and you know, God forbid, you can go in there, take a kick, and boom, everything is gone. You can't fight again. So this is just a sport. It's a dangerous sport that where you can never get complacent. This is not like a football when you have a, you know, $20 million contract and 10 of it is guaranteed. You know, it's not that game. So each and every day is a struggle. Each and every week, each and every month, it's just part of the deal, part of the game.
Now, one of the things that I totally admire all MMA fighters with is, look, I play football, and when you practice during the week, you don't practice the same way you do in a game. You take it a little bit easy. But in order to perfect your craft, when you are training, you have to go at it when you train. How difficult is that to constantly have to go through that, to say you're getting ready for this upcoming fight? How long before you stop training like that?
That's a good question. I was actually talking about this last week. We were practicing just counters and blocks, just little things like that. And when your opponent attack, counter attack. And one thing about me is I came from wrestling. I'm a wrestler.
Right.
So if you know anything about wrestling, my hips are tight than a mug. I mean, I can't moving those things and being loose enough to do some of these things that some of these strikers do. My hips are extremely tight. So we were practicing finishing with a head kick. And the only way for me to properly execute this kick is if I do it live. Like, I go it full out. And so I'm thinking, I'm like, well, I can't drill this. I can't do it light because I'm so tight, I can't even get my legs up there. I can't open my hips up like that. But if I do it live and full out, then I can do it. So I was feeling bad for my opponent, my drill partner, because every time I'm throwing this full out live, and I know it's hurting him. Because even if in a real fight, even if you block the kick, it still hurts.
Right.
But I felt a little bad before him, and then after we talked about it, and I'm just like, man, it's a crazy sport that we do because it's very hard to replicate or drill certain right. things without going full out.
Is there anything, because now that you're fighting Tyron Woodley, by the way, we're talking to Kamaru Usman, he's fighting at UFC 235, March 2nd, for the welterweight championship of the world. Getting ready for Tyron, who's a really established champion. He's absolutely fantastic. When you have a guy who's ran that much and you have this goal in mind, do you tune into every one of his fights? Do you have a good breakdown of what you think I can do to beat him? Or is it more of a focus on yourself and you're kind of just the same guy in every single fight? How do you approach that?
I'm a little bit of both. I've had my eye on Tyron for a long, long time. I mean, and he even mentioned something about it in our last press conference to where he said, do I remember what I asked him? Yes, I remember. When he was a newly champion, I remember being at one of his after parties because me and him are cool. We have no, it's not terrible beef in any way, shape, or form. So I was at one of his after parties. And I remember asking him, I said, how do you feel? How do you feel being a champion? How does it feel now that you've achieved it? And he, you know, kind of gave me a roundabout generic answer. But what he did is let me know, right, with him bringing it up last week, was he felt that was me kind of kissing up to him or any way like that. What he doesn't realize is that's me sizing you up years ago. Years ago. I asked you that question because I wanted to know how it's going to feel when I take that off of you. And so it was one of those things. I asked him, and he answered. But then I'm like, okay, I will get this belt off you, bro. And so the time has come now. On March 2nd, I will take that belt from Tyron Woodley and become the new welterweight champion of the world.
Kamaru, it sounds like you don't need really any motivation, any extra motivation at all to go into this fight for the welterweight championship. But Vegas does have you as the underdog, and it's the first time you've been an underdog in 3 or 4 years. Does that play into it? Do you use that to your advantage?
No, I don't care. Like, Vegas can't determine what's in my heart. Vegas doesn't know how long I've ran at night, in the middle of the night. Vegas doesn't know how much extra work I've put in than Tyron Woodley. Vegas doesn't know all the extra drilling that I put in or the extra partners that I called on the weekends and said, hey, let's get extra work. Vegas don't know all that. So Vegas can't account for that. All they're accounting for is, oh, this guy hits really hard or this guy doesn't hit hard. So they make their odds. I don't really care. And it's refreshing at some point to be a underdog because now I really get to make people a lot of money. You know, people always message me and say, hey, I won money on you, but I had to bet $800 just to win $100. But now they get to bet as much as they want to really win money. So,
there you go.
It doesn't matter.
One more question. This is off the beaten path. So yesterday we did a story. Whereas in a mountain off of near Fort Collins, Colorado, a hiker was on a trail. He's walking along. He hears something behind him. He turns around. It's a juvenile mountain lion, right? This mountain lion comes at him, and he fights off the mountain lion and kills the mountain lion.
Allegedly with his bare hands.
Allegedly with his bare hands. So we're a little bit skeptical, but supposedly this is a true story. With all of your skills, you've got a wrestling background, you're in the UFC,
Do you think you could fend off and kill a wild mountain lion?
Juvenile.
I would mess that mountain lion up. That's not even a question. It's either me or him. So I'm messing him up. So I think I saw that. I saw like a headline of that, and I kind of chuckled, and I didn't read the whole story. But, you know, I actually lived in Colorado for a couple of years. So, yes, I know there's a lot of them out there. But, yeah, man, mountain lions are dangerous. If they come at you, it's either you or them, and you got to defend yourself. So I could see it, but in me personally, yeah, I'd probably put them to sleep in a rear naked choke. then,
like go to sleep, kitty cat. Yeah. Go to sleep.
Yeah, I definitely put him in the choke and probably whisper in his ear as he's going to sleep.
man, come on, we can't thank you enough for the time.
Thanks, man.
We're wishing you the best of luck coming up March 2nd, UFC 235. Baez fight. You got John Jones' return. It's going to be back on that. He's taking on Anthony Smith. Kamara's going to be fighting Tyron Woodley for the welterweight title. Hey, man, when you're doing your victory tour, come back here with the belt next month, all right?
Yeah, next time you do one of those Titan FCs, we're going to come holler at you, too.
Hey, man, you know I'm going to be out here. I ain't going nowhere.
All right.
All right, cool, man.
All right, appreciate you guys.
All right.
Thanks.
Man, it's Kamara Usman. Good.
Hey.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we've had a couple of cool – dudes. We've had some cool guys on.
Shh, cat. Shh.
He say you go.
It's all over now.
Go. Shh. He gonna say like Debo. Go to sleep, kitty cat. Go to sleep.
Manny Diaz just.
Ooh, there's Manny Diaz news.
Manny Diaz just said that their punter Lewis Headley should represent the Canes at the coin toss because he's intimidating.
Oh, he's terrifying. But, I mean, at some point, Leroy, he is a punter. Yes.
Hey.
Or are you too scared to say?
No. Hey, you guys know Harold, right?
Yeah.
So we were playing in preseason. And like preseason, we don't have nothing to do because we play like the first series or whatever.
Right.
Right? So we just hype up all the young guys. Go get them. So it was a kickoff, right? Or a punt return or something like that. It was a punt return. And they punted it to us. And Harold said, dog, when I go out here, I'm going to take somebody's head off, right? So we putting on our, we call them the goggles. We just focusing in on Harold. So Harold circles around. He sees the punter. He circles around to hit the punter. And right before he got there, the punter turned and looked. Boom, stoned him. He took a knee.
Oh, man.
So Harold, he tried to go to the sideline on the other side because he knew we were watching. So me and Robert ran this during the game. We ran down on the other side. He said, dog, you know that kicker played linebacker in college, right? Like it was, we're still not. I mean, he almost got concussed by the kicker. That's how bad the hit was.
He would never live that down.
No, he did. He doesn't. We talk about it all the time.
Is there any chance that this Lewis Headley punter character is soft?
No,
he's Australian.
Like he's just got like his tattoos.
Have you ever met a soft Australian?
I mean, I haven't met too many Australians.
Wait, there was a guy that played for San Francisco, the guy from San Francisco. He used to tackle folks without grabbing them.
What?
He just hit them really hard. Serious, torpedo with his shoulder. He'd do rugby tackle. Serious.
Oh, man.
You know, Herm Edwards teaches that at Arizona State?
Oh, yeah, he does.
He teaches, you know how they used to tell you put your head across the bow?
I've seen him. He teaches him talk about that, yeah.
Put your head behind him and tackle that way. It's rugby tackle.
He also tells people not to hit send.
Yeah, he also didn't know that his mascot was the Devils.
Yeah, he's funny, man.
Devils!
At least they play to win the game.
Back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Tobin Leroy on Beast. Thanks again to Kamaru Usman for stopping by the show today. And again, you guys can get his fight. March 2nd, he's taking on Tyron Woodley for the welterweight championship. John Bones Jones is in the main event. He is fighting Anthony Smith, defending his light heavyweight title.
My new favorite fighter.
Robbie's just so happy he didn't curse. Yeah. We go to this headline. Tim Tebow. He said on the Pat McAfee show that if he could do it again in the NFL, he wouldn't change his throwing motion.
Oh, this guy.
And he'd be playing baseball a lot sooner. Dummy.
Stupid.
I knew you would love it. He says, it was advised. If I could go back, I wouldn't have done it. I remember that was crazy. They're like, it was Tim Tebow in like some netted area. They're like, We go live to the TiVo coverage. What had crazier coverage, Tebow or LeBron?
Tebow.
LeBron obviously has been longer because he's been the most famous longer.
Because he's actually been good?
It's totally different coverage.
It's different coverage.
LeBron does.
Okay, LeBron's coverage is warranted because he's really good. Tebow's coverage is because of, like, his aura.
He does have aura.
I mean, that's right? I mean, yeah, hey, okay, in college, he's one of the best college players, right?
Right, sure.
But anything after college, coverage is simply because of his aura.
Here's the problem. He's not the first person that's happened to where a guy's been great in college and not that good in the pros.
Nah.
Because
plenty of
what
Heisman.
He could do in college doesn't transfer.
Freaking stubborn, though. Now, if he just changed positions.
We have that situation.
Right.
We have
No. Here. That's the difference between a football player and the guy who wants to play quarterback. Okay? A football player, a guy who wants to play football, would have accepted the fact that, yo, I can't throw, but I want to play football. I'm going to see if there's something else I could do to fit in.
Yeah, well, there's also, like, I don't even think, like, Kyler Murray just won the Heisman, and he's seemingly even a better baseball player than Tim Tebow.
He got drafted in the first round.
This ain't going to be that. Like, he's not, right. Like, the Kyler Murray coverage is going to be, I'm sure, immense, but it's not going to be what Tebow was. I think because, you know, Tebow had the holy stuff around him, too. I mean, I've been in churches where entire sermons have just been around Tim Tebow.
Of course.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I mean, he went to Vietnam. He saved lives. He performed circumcisions.
He beat the Dolphins with two throws. I don't understand it. I mean, look, I look at some of that stuff, and I'm like, this is divine. I don't understand how this guy's winning because he's not good at quarterback. It looks like it's like I'm watching Angel in the end zone.
It's
Christopher
pretty
Lloyd's
amazing.
Out there throwing touchdowns.
It's pretty amazing that he got as much run as he did. Because, look, there's not a whole bunch of quarterbacks that have dropped back to throw a pass in perfect conditions and threw the ball in and went in over in. He's the only one I've ever seen. And that's okay. Here's what I can't understand in today's world, okay? If I say Tim Tebow can't play quarterback, it's like, why are you hating on that guy? He's a good dude. One has nothing to do with the other.
Well, and also people think that he got a raw deal. Like, people think that, like, he won a playoff game. Tebow got a raw deal. Like, they think that if he really went behind him with the right support, he would have done things.
Let me ask you this. Did he get a raw deal than Vince Young, who has a winning record and couldn't get a job?
No, I don't think he got a raw deal, but I think people would probably say that they think Vince Young, a lot of that part of his downfall was self-involved.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm not questioning that. Absolutely. It was on him.
But he was still good.
And
he
right. Also, and he also That's
had,
my point.
He also had Jeff Fisher. Terrible.
That's my point.
But with Tebow, they think, like, oh, his last memory, good. You know, he was doing good things when he got his chance to play.
When I see him against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I close my eyes, and I just picture blind squirrel finding an acorn and being so happy.
Do you picture that squirrel with Tebow's head on it? Or do you just picture
jersey, a squirrel? With a little squirrel jersey. With Tebow.
Is he going to start for the Mets this year? Is he back out there?
No!
What?
He's got to recover from the hammy bone.
That's not a big deal. That's a baseball injury.
Yeah,
I did both of mine.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Terrible.
It's fluke injuries.
Terrible.
But no, come on, man. Like, really? Hold up. What Tebow is insinuating, and let me break this down and you guys tell me if I'm accurate on my assessment.
Okay.
A professional told him, yo, you can't throw. Why don't you go work with this throwing professional and see if it can help you with your career? And he's saying, I should have just stuck with what I was doing. I would have went further along. Is that correct? The only thing that was keeping him in the league is that people thought he was going to get better.
Yeah, but he went with this modified throwing motion.
Dude, it didn't matter what throwing. Look,
maybe if
you've been playing quarterback your whole life, right? And after playing quarterback for 10, 15 years in high school, college, whatever, winning the Heisman, they have to teach you how to throw? No.
Can I tell you one thing? All right. You know how I have, like, some of my weird theories, right?
Ah!
Like, some of my rib theories.
I'm scared already.
Not my whale stuff. I'm talking like, you know, like I don't believe like Eric Bledsoe can be your franchise point guard because he's too jacked.
Right.
He's too jacked.
Okay. Yep.
I've been thinking a lot about this tanking thing because it seems like we're in for a rough pro football season here. That's what the forecast looks like.
Pain.
And they're gonna tank, right? For Tua. I don't trust lefty quarterbacks. I don't.
This is coming from
a Jags fan who loves Mark Brunell.
You got Mark Brunell. You got Tua.
Steve Young.
You got Steve Young, Hall of Famer.
Why doesn't it happen more?
Huh?
Why doesn't it happen more?
Because left-handers.
No. There's so many left-handed pitchers.
No, because they pitch. Left-handed. Look.
Well, that's I think it's like one out of every nine
pitcher
people are left-handed.
It's like a unicorn. Everybody wants a good left-handed pitcher.
Right, like
a left-handed quarterback, you got to switch your whole. Like, okay.
I understand.
If your best tackle is on the left.
Right.
What do you do if you have a left-handed million being left-handed.
Okay. But think about this. So, like, Laremy Tunsil, right?
Yep.
We think he's one of the good pieces here.
Yep.
One
sure.
of the better tackles. And now he's useless if you draft Tua?
No.
He's useless. He's on the wrong side. Now we got to switch him to another.
No, you can't switch him. You don't, switch.
Play
you don't switch him.
You can. It's
no,
been
you can't.
Done. It's been done.
No, not because of a quarterback. No.
No, not because of a quarterback.
No.
I've seen a right tackle move to left.
Okay, a right tackle move to left because he's waiting for the left tackle to retire.
I don't think
that's usually how it happens.
Okay.
You don't go later on in your career.
You go from left to right.
And go from right to left. You go from left to right because once you can't move and you can't face that best pass rusher, but you can actually still play, they move you to right tackle.
I'm just saying, like, how come Kyler Murray gets many questions because he's 5'9", but it feels like the short quarterbacks are less rare than lefty quarterbacks. I'd be scared.
The short quarterback. You want me to tell
I'd
you what happens?
I'd be scared to death of a lefty quarterback.
The short quarterbacks have not even normally gotten a look, and that thinking has started to change. That's why you're seeing more of it. Because guess what? You're telling me Drew Brees should have been a second round pick?
No, no way.
Okay, but guess
Russell
what?
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson. Why do you think they were drafted low?
Michael Vick was lefty.
He was the most athletic person on the planet.
He ran a 4.2, 4.3.
By the way, did you guys see Usain Bolt run the 40, like, not trying?
Usain?
Yeah, Usain. Usain? Whatever.
It's Usain.
It's Usain.
It's Usain.
You sure?
Yes.
I'll take your word for it. Did you see
Bolt?
Nope. Run the 40?
Nope.
In his sweats?
Nope.
Where did he run it in?
Broke the record.
Where did he run it
in? Tied the record, 4.22.
Just like not trying.
Not trying. Not warming up. Just being the fastest man on the earth.
That's pretty amazing.
So you guys trust lefties?
Yeah, why
not? Look, man.
But
wait a minute.
It was lefty.
Wait a minute. As much as you.
I love Mark Brunell. I love him.
Let me explain something to you.
Ken Stabler.
What? How long ago was that?
40, he used to remind. I used to think he was Kenny Rogers.
Are there any lefty quarterbacks in the league right now?
Is Garoppolo left?
No.
Ooh. Wow.
Oh, he's running the league. Wow.
Yeah. Nobody's freaked out by this? It's weird. We have Kyler Murray. They're debating because he's 5'10 instead of 6 foot, or maybe 5'9.
He's 5'8, bro.
No. Stop making him shorter. That's not cool.
He's 5'2, bro.
He's the same size as Baker Mayfield. I've seen side by sides. Now listen. Why is that getting more questions than a guy being lefty? It's weird. He's so lefty.
Maybe people are afraid to be anti-lefty.
Is that a thing?
No.
I think so.
It is not a
thing. I think it is a thing.
I don't think that is a thing.
No, I think it is a thing.
But I'm just wondering about it. He's telling me
it's much more commonplace to be anti-short guy than it is anti-lefty.
I got a left tackle now on the Dolphins. He's got no use. There's no point. He's not protecting the blind side. Should I move him? Should they prep now?
Brandon
if they're
going to
go for
two,
if they're
going to
go for Tua, should Laremy Tunsil play right tackle this year?
No. What
are you doing?
You don't switch. That,
That's not his blind side.
Let me explain let me explain something to you. Dumb. One of the hardest things in the world to do is go from the left side to the right side of the line. It's hard.
They should prep him.
It's not that easy.
Oh, someone brings up a good point. Question for you.
Yeah.
What position did Tony Boselli play?
He was a right tackle.
Left tackle, was he?
He was a left tackle.
Yeah, he was a left tackle.
And Brunell was the quarterback.
All right. But yeah, but he got hurt all the time. Like, you know, he didn't really look at his potential. I mean, you know, this Hall of Fame finalist for Tony Boselli. I love the guy, but
Wait, what is that?
Yeah, it was Cersei who was a right tackle. That's why I got mixed up.
What are you doing?
What is that?
Longevity, not his thing.
But Cersei started off as a left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I think when, and he, then when he got to Jacksonville.
Right.
Right. Right. That, but that's how it works. I mean, look, I'm telling you, how it is. And you guys are still arguing with me.
I'm not arguing with you. Why are you even? Look at him.
What?
No. Could you just gave, like, Tony Vaselli, you just gave him the look.
I just, no, you want to know why?
Why?
Because there's all this debate, like, Zach Thomas can't get a sniff, and Tony Vaselli's in the finals every year. And I'm like, all right. Like, he should definitely be pride of the Jaguars. He should be up in the rafters, but, I mean, Hall of Fame?
Best Jaguars player ever.
No, that's Fred Taylor.
Oh, that's right.
Anthony Munoz.
Fragile Fred.
Was Anthony Munoz a left tackle or left guard?
He was a tackle.
It's before my time.
Left tackle. All right. Uh-oh. Taysom Hill in New Orleans.
Oh, but he's a gimmick.
He's going to be a quarterback. They let him throw a lot.
No.
Really?
No.
He's basically current-day Tim Tebow. Except he throws spirals, and he can throw it far. Scott Mitchell.
We're back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.